With two of her recent films, Danish director Suzanne Beer has a way about her, with help from her screenwriter, Anders Thomas Jensen. Beer's way suggests there's decency afoot without weighing down such good news, being dark, dreary, and existential, or for that matter, a kind of holier-than-anyone-else-ism that gets a complimentary pass to heaven for living by strict rules. Speaking of heaven, the Danish title for Beer's latest film is Hevenen, spelled H-A-E-V-N-E-N, but that doesn't mean heaven. Hevenen is Danish for vengeance. My first date with Miss Beer was in 2007, alone, seeing her film After the Wedding. Thinking about it, After the Wedding still gets under my skin and could have just as easily been called In a Better World. Like Wedding, Better World is more of that sensible, uplifting cinema so good that this time around it took the Best Foreign Language Oscar for 2011, as well as the Golden Globe in the same category. Don't let the term uplifting fool you, though. There is strife, anxiety, pain, disillusionment, and death in the Better World of Beer and Jensen. Maybe the word not used so far in defining this picture, and should be, is stoicism. Michael Pierce-Brandt plays Anton. His role parallels the billionaire entrepreneurial do-good family man seen in Beer's After the Wedding. But Anton, in A Better World, is an MD who makes extended routine trips to Kenya to heal and cure the native poor there. Anton has the same sense of professional duty shown by Jakob, another character in After the Wedding. In a dark alley, you could run into these guys and feel safe. They're just good people. It's that plain. But Better World neither sermonizes nor says, oh, look how absurd life is due to ignorance. If you're looking for one of those perspectives as to why these men live their lives as they do, you might do better with an Adam Sandler movie. Better World is about two upper-middle-class Danish families, the first just having been stricken by the natural death of the mother, the second slipping from estrangement into divorce. Each family has a boy about 11 years old. Christian is the son who's just lost his mom, and the other is Elias, whose mother, Marianne, no longer lives with Elias's dad. Alone, Anton misses Marianne and is repentant for his passé affair with another woman. Christian is in a near state of rage with his father, Klaus. The lad is brittle with emotion and seeks revenge any way he can for his pain. The sober boy broods that his dad really wanted Christian's mother to die of the cancer that consumed her brain. Conversely, Elias is reasonably well-adjusted, but being bullied by young goons at the school he and Christian attend. After some schoolyard dust-ups, Christian begins to lay a plan to get even with the ringleader of the bigger boys ganging up on Elias. The strife bonds Elias and Christian in ways not all good. But Christian's drive to even the score pushes the narrative in a more injurious way, as Anton is innocently drawn into a dispute with a grown man on a city street, not long after returning home for a respite from his Kenyan medical duties. In Kenya, meanwhile, Anton has an even more risky problem with a local warlord named Mond. Mond takes a culturally dim view of the native females, usually the pregnant ones, and although Anton abhors what Mond and his lackeys do to the defenseless women, the physician agrees to care for Mond's serious leg wound. But to keep things clear, after Mond asks Anton if the doctor is his friend, Anton answers, "No, I'm not, but I'll do my best to help you." This decision ultimately pulls Anton as a physician into a self-confrontational dilemma and tightens the jumbled emotions that link his son being bullied, his dispute with the grown man, which Elias and Christian are party to all back in Denmark, and dealing with the dangerous Mond at the Kenyan medical camp. Events follow that put both boys in their own separate perils as well, that to know would spoil the ending, but surely put in the narrative to keep you on edge, right up to the denouement. Another plus seeing in A Better World is the fine cinematography and editing, each moving the story ahead at all deliberate but coherent speed. Note particularly the artful use of sunlight and the framing of live natural landscapes that trickle into the flow of the film, with original music that fits like a harmonious yet unobtrusive glove of sound. The guy with this voice sounds off with an invitation to read his film reviews online at TulsaTVMemories.com or at the International Movie Database at IMDb.com. I'm Gary Chu, down in the valley.